And from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. Cofield and Company. That is perfect, Mateo. Mateo's here. Just telling him, Greg, the setup here gets more and more refined. I sound like a jackass, but we need a little bit of a little massaging when we set things up here.
Yeah.
At Circa. We're at Stadium Swim. We're in Cabana 7. Salerno's on the scene. It is a perfect day for big fellas to be around each other. My moob sweat is just massive right now, but I am wearing a big fella shirt, so that kind of covers it up. You have no, you're not going to see food stains, sweat,
no.
Nothing on that shirt. Beautiful.
No. A listener made a tie-dye shirt for me. It looks kind of like Grateful Dead-ish, you know, a little bit, but yeah, it's perfect.
And then we've had a discussion on the new remote tech uniforms. I think Mateo looks great. I would love one of these. I don't think I've ever been given a shirt by the station. Not complaining.
Yeah.
But now, here's the thing. It's a nice button-down shirt. I mean, it is, I don't know what it is right now in the booth, but it was like 105 out when we walked in. I like the look.
I mean,
I would like us to be, you know, I think we should all be able to wear these, and I'll get a 3X. I'm assuming, what do you want to go, 4X?
At least,
five?
Yeah, I would say that's I like him baggy, you know, like a 9X. Yeah, I mean, he looks great.
A 9X.
Mateo looks like he's about to change my brakes, but other than that, he looks okay.
I mean, whatever, man.
He should, like, if he fixes something, he should have to roll out on his back, like on one of those rollers.
Flexibility. That's right, the roll. We should get. Now we need a Lotus Broadcasting roller.
Yes.
Why not?
Actually, we have one. We used to use it for the morning show. Yeah, we have one.
Oh, is that right?
In the building.
So yeah. I've talked about our studio before, and when it gets steamy out, you get all the big beef of Cofield and Company in our Lotus Broadcasting Findlay Toyota Studios, and it'll get a little, well, it depends on the people in the room. I mean, it can get musty, but if we're all showered and doing well, but it does get a little steamy. And I often talk about, like, you, myself, and Griffin, who's a big guy. The other day, it was probably a little short of 800 pounds from parts unknown, right?
Yeah.
The old tag team announcement. Today, we're going to have a guest. I hope he comes up here, who's in slap fighting.
Yeah.
And he goes 384.
Oh, my
God.
So goodness.
As I look around, I think I'm going to go. We might be able to get to 1,000 pounds today.
That would be amazing.
Mateo's a little small. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah. Well, he's lost weight, too. He was bigger at one point.
Oh, he was chunky?
I mean, he was, you know.
I think it's all relative, too.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying compared to me. I'm just saying compared to Mateo.
Hey,
like.
Have
like,
you told him face-to-face, like, bro, you got to watch your
weight? No, he told me, because when I met him, he was, like, really thin, and then he gained a little bit of weight, and he's like, oh, man, I gotta lose some weight. And I'm sitting next to him, like, dude, if I look like you, I'd be happy as hell. But, you know, it's all relative. So.
Yeah, well, I think we're actually, if we had a scale here, I think when Duh Crazy Hawaiian.
Oh, that's his name?
That's what he called it. He actually introduced that way.
I'm expecting a monster to come in here.
I think he's just, like, a slightly taller, more block shape you.
Okay.
He's 6'1", 384.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone who's listened to Cofield and Company over the years, they know the pleasure I get out of just the whole big fellow realm and kind of freakish size athletes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if it's Hawaiians, but I don't know if he's Samoan or, you know what, if
sure.
he's Pali, we'll ask him, right, as we're going through all this. Like the freaking giant legs.
It reminds
like
me.
I think we've been over 1,000 pounds on the show before.
Yeah.
But not in a while. We might be over 1,100 today.
It reminds me of that show. There's a Disney movie with The Rock in it, and he plays like a really big Hawaiian dude. Yeah. I don't know if he looks like that guy or not, but that'd be cool.
He might. So you can see the level of intelligence that Greg is being introduced to as he does some more Cofield and Companies. I'm not smart. I'm not really a deep thinker. Today I was like, you know what, I should do a bit about I'm driving down here and kind of weaving in between cars, and I got one hand on the wheel, and I'm drinking like the hottest coffee ever.
Yeah.
One, why am I drinking coffee when it was 131
sure.
in the car? And two, I'm going to like permanently scald myself. And then I see your story list, and you have a question for on our Sports Talk radio show. Scientists are close to proving the multiverse theory. And I'm like, hot coffee, cankles, 1,100 pounds.
Yeah.
Multiverse.
Yeah, I'm big into science. I'm like a total nerd when it comes to that stuff. And I like do a lot of research. Now, I'm not talking like the alien pyramids, fake dumb science. I'm talking about like actual, you know, quantum physics and stuff. And so, and this string theory, which has not been proven yet, they have a multiverse theory, I can't talk, where there's not only one universe, but several, or maybe infinite universes, and they're getting closer to be able to prove it by scars from, like, former universes. Now, what that means is, if you know how the universe started with, like, a Big Bang, supposedly, boom, and this gets bigger and bigger and bigger, well, they're saying that maybe it happens all the time, where it gets bigger, smaller. Now, it takes a long time. You know, obviously, you've been here a long time. But then they can find light from, like, the past universes stuck in, like, certain parts of space. It makes, like, they call them scars. So I don't know enough about it as far as, like, math and all that stuff to, like, that's the best I could explain it with my stupid brain. But it does sound something cool, and I was thinking, like, because, I mean, that would mean the probability is there's a different kind of us everywhere, you know? Like, there's a Cofield who was, like, Elvis. There's a Cofield who, you know, hates burgers. I mean, you know, there could be, like, a different one of us, like, all over the place. There's a Cofield where we're friends somewhere. There's a universe.
Okay, you know? That's good to hear. So, Dalton Kinect.
Yes.
Sorry, I just wanted to make this the instant segue. Like, I'm not going to address anything you just said.
I know. I wish
can we deep think this in the grab bag? Because I think there is something there.
Okay.
Not that we have to rush to break down Dalton Kinect, but I will tell you, on deck right now, the NBA draft started a little bit early today. It's the first time we've seen a two-day draft, at least recently. Second round, I think they did this to try to be like the NFL draft. Go to the break, have an overnight where you hype it up, best available. Essentially, like, who are the quarterbacks who slipped?
Right.
That is, like, who's Dickie Vitale's fifth-year seniors that he knows.
Sure.
So he can bitch and moan overnight. You know, good luck with cancer. That's a terrible thing that Dickie's been going through.
Yes.
Love Dick Vitale. But it's kind of made for a little hype overnight. And we knew the hype coming in. I thought it was obvious. I want to get to the whole draft status thing about the first round, but Bronny James was not drafted. We are at the point in the draft. We're in the final six or seven picks.
Yeah.
53 just went off the board. I made the suggestion about 3 weeks ago. I thought there was a chance that someone could draft Bronny and convince LeBron, you know what, come with us. I think it's pretty clear now LeBron is going to stay in L.A. unless something crazy happens. So drafting Bronny as a lure to get LeBron is probably off the table. Now, here's the final team that I suggested as an outside chance. Hey, you know what? Try to get LeBron. But also, you know what? It's your rival.
Yeah.
F the Lakers. And
right.
Screw LeBron. The Celtics are up. Bronny James has not been drafted. The Lakers are next. 54 and 55.
Yeah. Well, the Lakers are actually on right now.
Okay. Let me update it.
Yeah.
Because let me see who Woody. I don't know that it matters anymore. Update. We got to find out what the hell's going on here. We'll get you updated. I'm looking at social media. All different things are coming down. I think he might wind up going to the Lakers. So there it is. He is going to go to the Lakers. Yep. And he is going to be.
By the way, Doug, if you're listening, I was right. Jared, if you're listening, I was right.
I know, on the Mount Rushmore.
You don't know anything? Oh, no. Okay.
Rushmore. Or was this your claim on the arena?
No, this is my claim that Bronny was going in the second round. No, the Mount Rushmore thing is completely out of context and ridiculous, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, man.
Dude, I knew that. That was exactly what I said, 55.
55th pick.
I never get anything right. That's why I keep bragging.
There were actually betting odds to bet him at the 55th pick. By the way, there were betting odds to on the Lakers to pick Bronny James with the 17th pick, which apparently had a big price on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So we clean it up. Bronny James. And we'll get the latest update during the break. But, yeah, Mateo was, like, pointing at the screen.
I know. He just saved the whole segment, Mateo. Good job.
No, I noticed it. I was like, I went back to look.
You're like the show's mechanic. He just fixed it.
Now I went back to look, and I was like, oh, wait. Now the draft board is saying Anton Watson went. He's a Gonzaga guy to the Celtics, and Bronny James has landed at 55. So
well, I saw it on
that
TV.
That crisis is averted. I can't see the TV.
I mean, I could barely see the corner. I saw Bronny's name.
I'm in the corner here with a 143-foot screen. They got Copa America on with USA playing against Panama. So crisis averted. Bronny James going to be with the Lakers, and I guess the Lakers are going to give him an NBA contract. I guess he'll be with the organization and be on the bench for most of the season, get to play with his dad. I guess that was his dad's dream, although Rich Paul said last week it wasn't make or break. So, yeah, last three picks. I was kind of stunned by this one. I guess the league decided, hey, you know what, let's cooperate with the Lakers. I don't know why you'd do that, or let's, you know, take the threat seriously and not waste a second-round pick on Bronny James and have him go to Australia. But amazingly – actually, you know what? It's not amazing. The 53rd pick in the draft is a guy named Cam Spencer, who went to Loyola Maryland, then my school Rutgers, then got bought by UConn and won a national championship this year. He's a 6'5", three-point shooter.
Yeah.
He's probably a G League player, international player, and he got chosen before Bronny James. So good luck to Bronny James. I hope he turns into a player. I hope he has a great time. I like LeBron, so I hope LeBron gets to, you know, enjoy a couple of years here and learn how to play basketball. But, yeah, no one else stepped in the way. So we'll come back, reset. Bronny James, 55. We got a couple more picks in the second round. We'll break down the second round, break down the first round. But up next, we're going to talk a little UNLV football.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, so it is confirmed, Bronny James to the Lakers. I spent about 3 minutes getting all excited because I got, I'll tell you, the internet dupe I fell victim to. That was cool. Bronny James going to be with the Lakers. And that was one of the biggest things on for, you know, most casuals out there who don't follow international basketball, don't follow enough college basketball. That was the stories going into day two. LeBron and Bronny will be on the same roster with the Lakers for however long they want to keep Bronny around, and also how long LeBron wants to be around, right? I don't know if he walks after next year, please. Three more years. So I want to get to a little football here, and we'll get back to the NBA draft as the last couple picks are coming up. Really cool season is on the way. Aggressive schedule, high hopes. Again, reworked roster, new looks at quarterback. Let's start breaking a lot of it down with wide receiver coach for the Rebels, Dell Alexander's up with Greg and Cofield. Coach, how are you?
I'm great, great, great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're tracking the NBA draft. We got big-time soccer going on. We got USC in town. Vegas is pretty crazy. Where are you right now?
I am at the AM/PM gas station before I run out of gas.
Coaches are real people. They have to get gas and snacks sometimes.
Do they still have those two for one on the rib sandwiches, man? Those things are fire in there. You got to go in. Right?
I'm looking. I see the hot dogs and the 69-cent drinks, so I don't know.
Oh! What a bargain, the 69-cent. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I think you're a great guy to talk to tie in what LeBron James is probably thinking right now and the opportunity to play with his son. You have been around your son. Kind of paint a picture for people, like what it's like to work with your son and what it might be like here for LeBron. And this is kind of an amazing story, a guy who's still active at 40 years old getting to play professional sports with his son.
Right, right. It's a blessing. You know what I mean? It really is to go to work and see your son every day is special. You know, regardless of whether or not he's going to be any good, you know, whether or not he was good enough at my alma mater, you know, but for LeBron to be able to see him every day and to say hello and make up for some of the lost time sacrificing for the game is special.
Is it weird? Like, you're a coach, obviously. If you had a wide receiver on the team that was related to one of the other coaches or something, is it weird, like a weird dynamic? Maybe you feel like if you just say something wrong or do something wrong, or, I mean, is it going to be strange for J.J. Redick to have to coach him?
No, J.J.'s got to go after him. You know, he's got to coach him. The assistants have to coach him, regardless of LeBron. The toughest part is, you know, they might need to hire me to cut him. You know, I've got no problem cutting him. Whoever's got to cut him is going to be the guy that's in the tough spot.
Trust me, being out of practice, Greg, if Coach Dell Alexander didn't like what one of his receivers were doing, I mean, aside from the situation you described,
sure.
You get into him pretty good, Coach, and that's your coaching style. You coach hard.
Yes, you have to. You know, you have to be demanding, you know what I mean, without being disrespectful, and the guys respect, you know, tough coaching because you get into tough situations in the game.
All right, let's talk about this roster. And first of all, we can get into all the newcomers, but really the way this era works now, you got to re-recruit. So tell the audience what it's like to, you know, find out and then know that you're going to have the best guy in your wide receiver room back. And I'm sure, you know, he got recruited. We know the way it works now with the transfer portal. But Ricky White is back and can be bigger and better than ever for you guys.
Yes, it's a good time and a good feeling to have a guy come back. You know, not a lot of guys are staying put. Ricky trusts what we're doing. You know, he trusts our standpoint on our philosophy. He trusts that we were going to bring in players, you know, around him so that we could repeat the same success. And he just repeats, he likes that, you know, he's going to be challenged to continue to grow.
And he's such a quiet dude, but I know he's got an inner fire to work on things. And the jump and the offense helped him a lot. And quarterback play by Jaden Maiava, who's now at SC, helped. But talk about 2 years ago, a couple off seasons ago, and what he did to become. I thought he just needed to become more consistent, concentrate a little more, get a little better with the hands. I mean, he improved on everything, and what a freaking deep ball threat he turned out to be. But the work a couple of years ago that you think got him to this level?
Yeah, I think when we first came in, obviously when you first come in, you start to group guys into certain categories and look at them and see what they're capable of doing. And I don't know if we judged him fairly. Bringing in Jacob DeJesus was a big deal because he set a standard for effort. And he beat Rick a lot, on the way in. And I think Rick being the competitor that we see producing on game day, he doesn't stand for it anymore, and it pushed Rick. And Rick obviously, was very coachable. And, the little things are important to him, and that's what you see happening on game day. You see him having a sense of urgency to make plays and also be smart.
Talking to UNLV wide receiver coach Dell Alexander, you bring up, DeJesus and effort, and he's not a real big guy, but I'm assuming by effort you mean also blocking. How important is it for the wide receivers to be blocking? Because I know a lot of times in the NFL those guys just cannot.
Right. Well, that's my history and my backbone. I know that we can create explosive plays blocking for anyone that has the ball, but you can also, establish a dominance against the defenders. Being physical, you kind of get them a little rattled, you get them a little frustrated. If you go after those guys without the ball, they start to forget about technique and they start to think about revenge, and that's the way I like it.
Dell Alexander is with us here on Cofield and Company. You can get your UNLV football tickets at unlvtickets.com. Single game tickets, there's three packs, and obviously season tickets as well. Season tickets start as low as $150 for the games over at Allegiant Stadium. One more thing on Jacob DeJesus. Are you going to have to battle within games on what position he's going to play? Because I got to tell you, in a real pinch in the bowl game, the little guy actually looked pretty good at running back.
Jacob is special and unique, and wherever we can find a place for Jacob to touch the ball is where we're going to put him, and it's up to the defense to stop him. But he is special. And we are going to make sure we use that as much as possible, wherever it may be.
How much did you think you needed to build up the core of bigger receivers? You got Casey Kane in. Rodgers is the holdover. I saw Bradley just got added to the program. Guys who are more 6'3", 6'4". How important is it to have guys who can be that high point dude? Or, in these cases, they may be really complete receivers. But how important was that goal in the offseason to build that wide receiver room with more size?
It was definitely a goal. I've always been around big receivers, and, I was a little bit slow at approving Jacob, but, he won me over. I knew exactly what I was going to get, and it showed up. But to have a guy that can just physically line up and have an advantage is huge. Like you said, between Casey and Jaden and a couple of other guys there, you got to at least have some size where you can body a guy up in a one-on-one situation and count on him to make the play. And we've done that. You've got to have that diversity of skill set, whether it be big guys or small guys. And I think we've done a good job filling that void a little bit.
What's the role of your wide receivers in terms of making sure that new quarterbacks like Haj Malik Williams and especially Matthew Sluka, are comfortable out there? What's the responsibility on the wide receiver side in developing that relationship?
Well, the biggest thing that I try to teach the guys is the quarterbacks take the lead. If the quarterback who handles the ball is telling you what to do, you better listen. From there, it's a group effort, because Marion does a great job, communicating what we're going to do on the field in certain situations. But it's really just, having a brotherhood where the guys trust each other. They watch film together. They meet together. They're always going over things together as a group. And that's, how you get on the same page and you feel comfortable in games.
You know, this year you guys have a lot more Friday games, which has its disadvantages, but as a team as a whole, it gives you an opportunity. How important is it to show when you have these opportunities in front of a, you know, a bigger audience, to show what you guys can do?
It's huge, man. You know, it could go both ways. But, you know, to go from not having the visibility to now having the availability to be, you know, seen on TV, that exposure is huge for our guys. It's huge for our program. You know, with everything that's going on in the city, I try to tell my guys, and I want it to be known, that we're the next big thing. You know, the professional sports are coming. People are looking at us like, you know, we're you know, the small attraction, and we're not. You know, we're not going to be the small attraction. We work, we're dedicated, and, you know, we are going to compete, you know, and we work every day to win games.
Dell Alexander's on the horn with us, wide receiver coach for UNLV. Last one, we talked about some of the veterans, some of the additions out of the portal. Take us back to last year, last like four or five games. What did Corey Thompson do to earn more trust with the coaching staff? And what does true freshman Damian McDaniel need to do, kind of following in those footsteps and trying to get himself on the field early?
Right. Well, we're deep at wide receiver. And a year ago, the opportunity that that Corey got was based on someone else. You know, we went down to Fresno and we came up short. And, you know, Corey, who started off on the scout team, you know, worked hard, and it was brought to my attention by Coach Odom. He said, hey, these young guys you have are going to be really good. And Corey came over, you know, maybe halfway during the season. He worked, he played fast on a regular basis, and that's what you have to do when you're young. And, you know, with the reps that he got in the games, he had the opportunity to make a couple of plays, and he just showed that, you know, he was capable. You know, Damian, in 2 weeks' time, you know, caught the ball, learned the playbook, you know, caught probably, you know, four or five plus in Allegiant, which was huge. You know, in a short amount of time, he showed that he could handle the playbook, that he could handle the competition, and that, you know, he wasn't intimidated, you know, being away from home. So I'm looking forward to both of those guys and the rest of the guys. August, what is it? I think it's August 2nd. We take the field, and I'm at level 10. And they know it, and it's such a great room, and it's competitive, and I can't wait.
My refuel convenience store snack used to be, when I was a little younger, I could handle it, a 32-ounce Mountain Dew and, like, a Hostess apple pie. It's not that healthy. Like, are you going to pick up a snack here at 3:33?
I'm a little bit more of a honey bun and a slushy.
Yeah.
I'm 7-Eleven all day. Yeah, I'm.
I'm glad. I'm glad. All right, Coach. Yep. We appreciate a couple minutes. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Dell Alexander, what are you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, if you're still listening, try the if they have a jalapeno cheddar hot dog or a corn dog in there, too, if you're a corn dog
fan. I think he just planted his flag.
Unbelievable.
He's like, let's stop giving AMPM the free pops. He's like, I'm a 7-Eleven guy.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, right at the end there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Might be a 7-Eleven pizza guy. You remember DeMonte used to work on the show, every bet we made?
Yeah.
And he rarely won a bet. But when he did, we actually gave him a 7-Eleven pizza. He loved it.
Okay. Was it pepperoni?
Dude, I think I got him one pepperoni, but generally we got him plain.
I'm
mostly not into the freaking loaded pie.
Yeah.
My stomach is like, I can eat anything.
Yeah.
But not to get, you know, we're out here at the pool at Stadium Swim.
Sure,
it's a
sure,
nice
sure.
Day. You don't need to hear about my wild defecating after eating a 53-topping pizza. But
well, I consider pepperoni a base pizza thing.
I agree with you.
Like, if I order pepper, have pizza and it doesn't come with pepperoni, I'm like, I ordered a pizza. What is this?
Yeah. Have you ever heard, have you been at a table with people and you're like, hey, how about pepperoni? And they're like, ah, no.
Yeah, well, my dad likes plain everything.
He's
kind of a weirdo with that stuff.
I annihilate people who want plain.
Yeah, it's annoying. It really is. Because if I get a
pizza,
almost
hurtful.
I can't get a quarter plain. I have to get half plain. So that means I can only eat a half. Now, I don't eat any more pizza because I'm trying to lose weight, but I can eat a large myself. So if I got to order a pizza, I wish I could order like one slice for him of cheese, you know, and the rest of it pepperoni, but it doesn't work that way. So.
Coming up in 10 minutes, Xavier Pope going to be talking about pepperoni pizza. Actually, he's the guy who does not like pepperoni. We'll get into that
because
he's one of these vegan guys.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
3-6-4-1-100, 702-3-6-4-1-100. Two reasons for that. Number one, that's our text line. Two, it's our call-in number. And right now you want to use it to call in. Tickets to see Blink 182 July 3rd, T-Mobile Arena. Caller 7-3-6-4-1-100. You can get your tickets right now at AXS.com for that show, 3-6-4-1-1-0-0. The text line responding to my internet dupe earlier. I'm not suggesting I did it on purpose, but I read one source about the 54th pick with the Celtics, and I went on for 3 minutes about how the Celtics had just taken Bronny James, and then I looked down again. I'm like, oh, refresh. Someone was jerking around with the draft board. I saw it, and then all of a sudden you guys start pointing at the screen like, he's going to the Lakers. He's going to the Lakers. On the way back, we're going to get to Xavier Pope. He's going to react to Bronny James and where he was drafted, going to the Lakers, and also Rich Paul, basically, the agent telling the league, the rest of the league, don't freak him, draft him, or else he's not playing here. He's going to go to Australia. So everyone capitulated. Lakers have Bronny James.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
Salerno's here. It's Cofield. Let's bring in Xavier. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going on, Steve? How you doing?
I'm good. I delivered a shocking news like 40 minutes ago that the Lakers didn't get Bronny James, but I got duped by internet. And, as it turned out, he landed with the Lakers at number 55. Give me your thoughts on Bronny James. One, reports yesterday that he could go in the first, which I don't think that was ever a possibility. And now he's landed to play with his dad, with LeBron.
Well, did you get spoofed by Ball Sack Sports, Steve?
No, you know what I actually did? I was actually on Wiki, so I had the grid up, and I kept updating it, you know, refreshing it, yeah. And I think someone fired in Bronny at 54, and then I talked about it for 2 minutes, and then I look back, and I'm like, oh, no, he didn't go to the Celtics, so it's like, it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it is shocked to no one, LeBron James Jr., otherwise known as Bronny James, goes to play with his dad. If someone who's going to be considered one of the greatest of all time, of course, one of his accomplishments is playing with his son. It makes perfect sense in a historic career for LeBron James. This is just as much a victory for LeBron James' career and something he's inspired to do, as well as Bronny James making it to the next level. So it shocks no one. Whoever thought that Bronny was going to go first round, this is the era of cap. That was never going to happen. He was never projected to go to first round. He was always going to be considered a second round draft pick when he came to the Lakers. No shock at all.
Xavier Pope, talking to you. Bronny dynamic on the team, because they have a new coach on the Lakers, obviously, with J.J. Redick. Yeah. LeBron is his dad, very powerful guy. What's the dynamic going to be like with Bronny there with everybody else and how they approach him, how they treat him?
I think the first thing is they're going to be patient with him, right? He's still a prospect. He was hurt, had a life-threatening condition, didn't get a chance to truly show how good and talented he is as a player, as a great vision, great jump shot. So I think the organization is going to be patient with him, because you can do that with a second round draft pick. And so I think the Lakers are going to hold a spot for him to continue to grow as a player. I think this is the best possible spot, LeBron James Jr., the player, than it would be to sit and go to another team, don't get the opportunity truly to play, wind up getting cut and having to play overseas. This opportunity is definitely the best move for Bronny himself.
I don't want to change the subject too much, but I saw this tweet, and this goes close to my heart too as a radio guy. This AI Al Michaels thing, where now they're going to use his voice and do these updates on the Olympics and all this crap. Where are we headed with this? You're a lawyer. I mean, at some point they're going to be using close to the same voice, but not the same voice. And I mean, are they going to be able to sue for that? Like, how is this going to go?
I think this is really going to come down to how talent is going to be viewed in the future in terms of broadcasting talent. And how that may be used in maybe smaller markets where those people that need those opportunities to be able to rise up and be successful, I think that's going to maybe potentially impede their progress and getting priced out of the market by some cheap copies of just artificial voices. It may not necessarily even be a major voice. But there's also a situation where people's estates could license the voice of, say, Howard Cosell or John Madden, whatever, to be able to put their voice to games, to a small broadcast or highlights. I think the implications are very vast. I really don't have really an opinion on this one way or another. It's an inevitability more than it is anything else.
What do you think, Greg? You like it?
I hate it, man. Because just what Xavier said, I feel like at some point they're going to be not that right guy. Maybe it's not John Madden, but it sounds like John Madden. Then what do you do? I mean, because can you sue? I don't even know how that works. I mean, at some point, they're going to need any of us anymore.
Yeah, that's the big part, is the not needing us anymore and who is considered to be us. You know,
right,
Stephen A. Smith of the world of what price will license their voices, do AI, do all types of things. So the implications are vast, but it really impacts who they're trying to make it into the business to be able to rise up and even have that voice be worth something.
Xavier Pope is with us here on Cofield and Company every Thursday. He joins us around 3:45. We're live at Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. Beautiful day out here, a little bit of a breeze. We are officially going to push the show past 1,100 pounds in our cabana in about 10 minutes with a fighter coming in, a super heavyweight. I'm looking forward to that. Okay. I think we got big news today, but I'm very cynical on this one. It's a cool story, but I don't know that we're going to get anything. That lawsuit against the NFL going back on DirecTV, and the ruling on this was the NFL owes in excess of $4 billion. What's your initial read on this? Because I've seen people say, like, thousands of dollars per household for people who had Sunday ticket in the past. Really?
You're looking at the class. You have to submit to a class. You don't just get it automatically because you're a customer. You have to fill out these different forms, the claim form, to be able to be considered in it. You have to do it within a certain period of time, or you have to take your own remedies against the National Football League NFL Sunday Ticket. Those include DirecTV subscribers, and so people that were felt that they were inflated values in terms of the subscriber fees, because that's the only place that was offered was on satellite, which actually makes perfect sense from legal theory. But with the antitrust suit, potentially treble damages, which is triple the damages, could cost the NFL upwards of $14 billion. How fast that funnels down with the various appeals the NFL definitely is going to file to be able to prevent from paying, that may cost each team of upwards of $450 million a franchise. That definitely is something the NFL is going to fight for quite some time.
Oh, of course. This is going to go on for a long time. When you mentioned class action, you said you have to kind of opt in. Did you have to do that before this, or do you now that there's a ruling been handed down, will we get information if we were a subscriber? What's the deal here?
If you were a subscriber, you should be able to get some information about how to submit your claim in terms of the suit, when it began, also when it was for ongoing, and now as it goes through the process. So now, because the class has to qualify for a class in order for people to be able to get into it. So people are given a lot of opportunities to be able to opt into a class. And so if you were a subscriber, you may have seen something, may have gotten something. I wasn't, so that's not something definitely I received. But people did have potential opportunities to get something if they had their name and address. That could be found, so they could be potentially part of the class.
Let's move on to the WNBA, which Vegas listeners now hear that every day because I talk WNBA every day. Angel Reese over the weekend, the win against the Fever and Caitlin Clark. She had 25 and 16. I saw you retweet someone saying, make sure the apology is just as loud as the disrespect. This show right now, Greg and I are split on it. I like Angel Reese. I think she's great for the WNBA. Greg thinks there hasn't been enough production to back up the mouth. Can we go back to why would someone have to apologize on Angel Reese?
I think that people are criticizing Angel Reese in terms of her being some sort of ug on the court and focusing on that instead of her actual production as a player, her leadership with that team. You have to consider this is still a rookie. Both those two teams, the Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky, are still in rebuilding mode, and they still they're relying on two rookies to be able to lead them. And so I think it's unfair to be able to put the world on their shoulders as the face of the league when they still have to turn those teams around first.
How do you feel about the coverage? Because I feel like sometimes, I don't want to say enabling, but it's like, I don't know, it used to be being a sore winner was bad, you know, being a sore loser was bad. Now it seems like it's like, yeah, do it again. I mean, like, what kind of coverage do you think? How do you feel about that?
I think when it comes to the women's basketball, I think it's a game that most fans don't understand because they haven't watched it. I mean, the physicality, people compare it to the NBA in the 90s in terms of the physicality and the post game and how that's part of the game. So I think that it's just a different sport. And I think that people have to just get used to watching that brand of sport and women playing that brand of sport before they understand how the game is actually played, then how it was covered, and how to talk about the game.
Xavier Pope is with us. We have not addressed the Reggie Jackson interview live from Rickwood Field, where he talked about his experiences some 50 years ago. And for, I guess, I don't even want to say, like, for people who don't know what it was like 50 years ago in the South, what he said was jarring for many. Yet there's been others who are like, you know, I was just reading a tweet from someone, you know, I'm tired of people living in the past. He lived it!
And it wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't all freaking sunshine, puppy, and roses. Like, the story needs to be told. We can't wash away what happened to people like Reggie Jackson and what is still happening. It ain't over.
Steve, thank you for passionately saying that. Anyone who thinks that Reggie Jackson is living in the past and he's expressing his current trauma, but not having been there since those things happened to him, is a bigot. I want to make sure that's very clear. You don't tell people who live through segregation, through Jim Crow, through all the different machinations of race, of really intense racism in this country, to shut up and just talk about, oh, this is like, this is not Disney World that they were sitting in. This was a place that was really difficult and hostile to African Americans like Reggie Jackson, and not just to him, to people that live there. And so this is still some of the machinations of the politics that continue on to the present. And it was interesting. There was a part of history that was being shared that people just like, you could even share that. That's in a book. Is that banned in various states? I think it was really fascinating to see history being told in real time. And I think it's important to be able to learn from the lessons of the past.
Xavier, I'm a big Yankees fan. So, like, Reggie Jackson's been a big part of my, you know, sports fan life anyway, growing up. But I just said it. I was growing up watching this. This wasn't that long ago. I mean, this is way after Jim Crow, a lot of this stuff, you know, that he's talking about. And people were acting like it was 500 years ago. I mean, some of this stuff was the 80s. Like, we're not that far from it.
Yeah, I mean, they talked about it being after Bull Connor left. So that was late 60s, the period maybe he's referring to. But still, most of our lives, we've seen Reggie Jackson, his career was in the 60s, 70s, 80s. I mean, this is recent history. And so the stain of it still remains. I told many of my people that I know that, hey, why don't you talk to your parents, your aunts and uncles? They carry a lot of pain. They're so proud in trying to hold it together in terms of their mental and emotional well-being for their families. They keep some of this stuff buried, and you come into a situation like Reggie Jackson, and then it has to come out in the open. And I think that's something that I challenge many people to talk to their relatives about that time, so that they can understand what's happened, so that we can have really constructive conversations about how the future can move forward.
Xavier, good spot. Have a good weekend. Love you, buddy.
Love you guys.
Take care, man.
There he is. Come on, Solana.
What? Oh, I love you too. Was that what it was?
I mean, I don't think you meant it, but
you didn't say anything.
I did. What are you talking about?
You said I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even hear you.
Xavier's done that to us forever. Damon, who we saw earlier, was always the "I love you" guy back. So now I've, you know,
I hear like every other word or something. I don't know what my problem is.
You do. I'm now in charge of the. I'm trying to embrace.
I get it.
Like our male closeness.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, right?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's 2024, man.
I want to give our listeners a chance to win a trip. See, there's some more closeness. It could be male or female. Yeah. Summer of Fun is back. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan, ESPN Las Vegas. 8 trips in 8 weeks. This week's trip is 6 days, 5 nights to Nashville. You can go to the Jack Daniel's Distillery. They've got a tour included. They're spending cash. Or just take the cash option. You got to text in the code word of the day, 364-1100. 702-364-1100 is our text line. The code word of the day to be eligible for this week's trip to Nashville is motel. Motel. M-O-T-E-L. I will tell you, I think if you misspell it or you jokingly send in something else, which for some reason people do that.
Yeah.
I don't think it counts. Our rules people are pretty much sticklers.
Yeah, I got in trouble with that on comp because I was telling people to say whatever they want.
No,
you can't do that.
All right. We bring in the beef. We already got the beef in the cabana, but Big Fella's coming in, one of the slap fighters on the way here at Stadium Swim.